Hello, listeners. This is Arvind Warrior, and you're listening to the CHRO Mindset Podcast. Welcome to you all.
Hello, and welcome to the CHRO Mindset Podcast, where we bring you candid, thought-provoking conversations with top HR leaders and experts. And here's your host, Pulkit Joshi. Today, we have the privilege of hosting Arvind Warrior. Arvind is a seasoned HR business partner with 18-plus years of strategic leadership. He's adept at aligning people and cultural strategies with business objectives. A change catalyst, he excels in driving HR initiatives, fostering cultural alignment, and achieving organizational goals. With strong interpersonal skills, Arvind is a results-driven professional who effectively engages at all levels, contributing to the success of the organization's strategic objectives. Arvind, thanks for taking our time to speak with us today, and welcome to the CHRO Mindset Podcast.
Superb. Humbled and honored, Pulkit. Thank you.
Great. So let's start off with an icebreaker question. If you could time travel to the future, what HR challenges do you think you would encounter?
Awesome. Right question at the right time. Actually, we all are right now speaking about AI and Gen AI and all those things. I feel the most, at least when I happen to hear this kind of challenging word in this age, what I feel is basically you will have, at least from my perspective, I feel you will only have three important challenges, which is something which all HR great minds should really work on. One is basically in terms of creativity. When you have to fight with a machine, machine always, because that's what ML is also trying to learn. So one important thing is how you can beat the system in terms of your innovativeness mindset, and then coming out with some kind of creativity. And that requires a lot of introspection. Next is basically raising the bar of employee experience. Because you look at an ML or a Gen AI, they always, when you put a lot of prompts, it's trying to give you a lot of experience. So raising that bar of experience is, again, is something which you are teaching. So for teaching a machine, you also need to understand what are the touch points which you should have. And this only comes when you really work on something called KEC. Just remove the F from the KFC. It is kindness, empathy, and compassion, which machines don't have. We have it. So experience is something which really needs that kind of homework. Last but not the least, C and C, your culture and change. That is, in the world of so-called agile, you got to be flexible, you got to be adaptable, and you got to be adaptable. And I think these are the set of challenges which I see. At least culture and change has been there. But in terms of employee experience and being creative in this age of AI, that is going to be more complex.
Great. Thanks for that answer, Arvind. I love those insights and how you looked at this from a future perspective. Let's now shift our focus to how your journey has been in the HR function. And I'm going to spend some time looking back at your career. So walk us through what piece of coaching or mentoring advice has had the most profound impact on you.
Okay. Thank you. Very, very, very important and pertinent question, Pulkit. One important thing is I'm a firm believer. What happens is basically you're shaped by your experiences. So at very early, because from my Infosys journey to so-called current journey of mine, what I feel is basically your so-called learning or the so-called information, there is a lot of information stacks available in HR. You need to just have the T-shaped model in terms of be a specialist with a generalist, be a generalist with a specialist mindset. Most important thing is at an early age, this is for all my emerging leaders, one important lesson which I would say is, find your mentor and coach immediately when you join an organization. And it's like, I would just suggest that the mentor and coach should be very hard on you. Don't look at people who is just going to tell you about your soft skills. The hard skills is basically in terms of tuning or giving you a new version. That's what you should be looking at. So in my case, at least I was so thankful from my Novonordisk to Infosys, I had tough leaders to work on. They definitely told me, gave me a lot of bitter experiences. And I am being shaped by those. Because bitter in the sense like everything in life comes with this. It's a Lewin's model, actually. You don't have to really look at Lewin's model. It's actually learning, unlearning, and relearning. And that's something which I was able to do it. In my this one, what I can say is basically continuous learning is something which I've learned from all these mentors and coaches in my life. continuous learning doesn't mean that you just simply learn a lot of HBR, you read HBR articles or you read a lot of books, but try to get into some of the, you game part of some of the, what do you say, you try to get early in the life itself when you're joining an organization or before you're passing out from any kind of schools or colleges, try to get some people who can literally shape your thoughts. One important thing, few things which I learned is art of asking questions, number one. Number two, be a very good listener. Still, I am honing my skills around that. Third, be a great observer. Listening, observing, asking questions is something which I've really learned from being part of this kind of mentoring and coaching in my life.
Thanks, Arvin. I do agree. I think asking questions is the most fundamental thing that comes very naturally to all of us as humans. And if done well, absolutely. It opens the doors of curiosity and it could do wonders for everyone's growth. Totally with you on that. Okay, let's shift gears now. And let's now talk about one topic that I know is very close to your heart and something that you have kind of really spent a lot of time on. And I'm talking about leadership and influence. Okay, yes. So I'm going to ask a few questions in on this particular topic. And let's start off with this one. So talk to us, how do you handle situations where leaders exhibit resistance to change and how do you influence them positively?
Fantastic. See, when you told me, I mean, past few days when I normally go and teach at many colleges and being part of their board, one important insight which I was just dwelling upon is basically, if you look at a word called leadership, it actually contains four things. You have an identity. You make an identity of yourself. It can be in terms of your so-called behavioral. It can be in terms of your skills, in terms of your competencies. So you got to create an identity first. And that is very important. When you, the word called influence only happens when you have an identity. Now, let me just connect this with four I's of life. Identity is in terms of what you are. What is the content and what is your thoughts which you put across to the table or send across to the world. One is your identity. Second, the most important thing is the insights which comes in the form of what you say, what you speak, what you think, and what you do. I'll repeat, insights is not just speaking some information. Insights is shared by experience and expertise. So you got to really work on your identity. Second, the so-called insights. And people are looking for insights. They don't want a lot of yarn which is there in the books. They're not looking for so-called, you read a lot of books, so you don't, they are not looking for that. How do you combine your so-called learning or knowledge with your experience and expertise? And how do you create the next IA's impact in someone's life? Because through your so-called words and action and thoughts, you really are able to, impact someone. That's when you're able to influence. So it's an interrelation of four I's. One is basically your identity, what you are. And for that, I would request all my leaders who are being part of this great session really to do something called inner reflection. There is something called me time. And when you do that, your identity gets shaped. Second, the most important, the insights which goes out. Third, is the impact you create. Please understand by the Dave Aldrich, the professor, he always says, from my side or from my perspective, I would have delivered a lot of things. But my actual that actual value of deliverables is something which customers has to say when you have done something. So if you have to really influence someone, your impact should speak. And that's the last I about influence. Thank you, Pulkit.
I love that framework, Arvind. Thank you for sharing that. Let's now look at another aspect, which is a crucial, which makes a crucial contribution to how one is able to influence and lead people. And we're talking about emotional intelligence here, right? Going back to Mr. David Goldman, right, who was the pioneer behind this concept. So please walk us through what is the role of emotional intelligence, or EI as they call it, in leadership, and what is its impact on workplace culture?
Awesome. I think very pertinent question in this age of distraction and disruption. Yeah. Sorry to say that. We are so much distracted. And going back to what Pulkit, you told me, listening, observing and question only happens when you have done a lot of introspection about yourself. Self-reflection only happens when you're aware about what you are. The self-awareness, the social awareness, the self-management, the motivation and the empathy piece, which he had put in like a framework, is not to just say that, okay, I have learned emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence is a skill. And more than you learn the so-called theory or read his books and all those things, I literally feel this is some, and the first most important thing for all my leaders who are being part of this is actually doing a lot of self-reflection. Because if you look at most of us, we are distracted by the so-called information overload, which happens through your phones. So if you look at great leaders, they spend at least, if you happen to see Tim Cook, or if you happen to hear a lot of people from the Airbnb, the so-called leadership pipeline or the great leaders, they at least spend, including the Elon Musk of the world, normally, if you happen to see, they spend at least 1 hour or maybe more than that to introspect. That is the self-awareness is the most important piece which is missing these days. My humble request to all emerging leaders or leaders of tomorrow is put at least 50 to 60% on the self-awareness. When you do the self-awareness, you re-engineer that piece. Automatically, the self-managing, it's a ripple effect. So automatically, self-management, you're able to do it well. Social awareness goes up. You start doing the kindness, empathy, and compassion piece much more better. Your inner motivation, the so-called motivation, the intrinsic motivation also goes up, which eventually leads to the empathy piece also. So that's a connecting chain on the whole side, Pulkit.
Great. Thanks, Arvind. Let's now look at the alignment between the company's values and how, the entire value and cultural system gets infused with the leadership. So just to sort of rephrase that question, please walk us through how should HR leaders ensure that leaders are aligned with the company's values and cultural norms?
Awesome. We'll get here. This is a fantastic, this one. I must say, whichever colleges or wherever I go, I always say, most of the colleges would say leadership is different, culture is different, change. So I think we should have a course around something on leadership, culture and change. If you look at, because when a leader joins, he imbibes or he is majorly influencing something called culture. And culture, again, if you dissect, values is very, very important. That forms, you look at great companies, it is not something they put in the wall. It's something like something called the walk the talk. If they say trust, if they say passion, if they say about customer focus, if they say about change mindset, if they say entrepreneurial mindset, openness, transparency, these are the keywords. If you just do a text and analysis of values across the world, these are the few common themes which you can pick up. Important thing is, it's not about just putting it there or having it in your employee handbook. As a leader, am I putting this into practice? When you say trust and transparency, let's just pick up these two things. Do I really put it into action? Or it's the opposite, like I come with something on a micromanagement. So people definitely would like to see you as a role model when it comes to imbibing the value mindset. So it's very important when you're looking at the word called values, which forms a part of the culture. It's very important leaders should drive it. So if you happen to see an organization, again, Pulkit, top level leaders would have a different kind of culture.
Yeah.
Down, it could be something different. No, that is really dangerous. I have seen many companies having subcultures, which is quite different. But even if you have that, please ensure your value system or the so-called the most important DNA of the organization is not taken for granted, or it is totally behaved in totally a different manner. Because people really see what you're doing, what the leaders are doing. So it becomes very important and pertinent to imbibe the right values into the culture. And the culture is something which people do on the real-time basis. And that's why we have a lot of climate surveys to assess the so-called culture. So leadership is the starting point, and that injects. And if you really want to make a change in an organization, your culture has to be really ready for that, including the so-called AI culture or a performance-oriented culture or a data-based culture. If you happen to see, leaders first have to be doing the role modeling part. If leaders don't do it, it's very difficult to change the so-called culture. And values is what you showcase about what you are. So it's very, very important. And that's where the self-reflection part is very, very important. Great leaders, when they speak, think and do, they work on the so-called value system, and that's the key. Thank you, Pulkit.
Got it. And I agree. That actually reminds me of this famous quote by Mahatma Gandhi, be the change that you want to see. Right. So one has to lead by example. I think that's the most simple definition.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, what it takes to be in the leader's shoes. Okay, let's keep going. Thank you for that answer. Let's now look at the resilience aspect of leadership. So to put my question forward, what role you think leadership can play in building resilience and adaptability amongst employees and teams?
Okay. Pulkit, I'm just going to put an acronym here. It's called GRD. Okay.
Okay.
When GRD is in terms of the grit, second is the resilience. Third, the most important word called the dog determination. This dog determination is a word from the book called Grit Factory, where other listeners can go and read that fantastic book from Harvard Business Press, Grit Factory. So most important thing is leaders. I can just take everyone back. What did COVID teach us is basically how much you can come back in this midst of so-called storm. And most important for everyone to understand is everyone is fighting his or her battle. As long as you can understand this, you become more resilient. And I think I would request all my listeners here to just go back. If you happen to go back 2019-20, where you had so much of crisis with the so-called COVID, there were some people, some of the leaders said, no, I'm part of this whole thing. Now let me just shut down my business. But there were some people in the whole show who were the true game changers. They said, okay, I'm stuck here. Because of COVID, this is not going to work. But that is not an end, because I have so many dependent families who are actually trusting me. I have to take care of those families. Let me see what best can be done. Including, I believe I was reporting to my head. He said, Arvind, yes, I might have to cut your salaries into half, but I should ensure all my employees are happy. That's very important, Pulkit. At the end, resilience is again part of the so-called role modeling. Resilience is again the part of value system these days. Because if you're not resilient, don't expect your employees to be resilient. If you don't exhibit the grit, grit is in terms of that, even if I fail, I come back. The same resilience model where you pull me down, I'll still come back. Dog determination is to fight. Or if I have to put all these things, it's basically in terms of, you would have heard another very important concept is called the growth mindset, where you see growth in every problem, where you see opportunities in every problem. And that is something which is important in this age also. You cannot say that, okay, my competitor has come up with something different. Now, this is something very good. You learn from that and you try to re-innovate or innovate something better. And that's very important. So GRD just added two more things to your resilience. The grit and the resilience and the dog determination to succeed is very important in this age. Because AI is really eating up. Now what? Now what to be done is something which everyone should be looking at. Not saying that my job is at stake. HR is not going to hire or skills are coming in. No, there are many, many things. If you happen to see, you can definitely do. As long as we have creativity and innovation mindset, we can do great things and amazing things.
Great. Another awesome framework that I've gotten to know today. And of course, the two books that you spoke of, I'll try and see how I can get them in my library. Thank you for that amazing answer, Arvind. Now that we have discussed leadership and influence, I'm thinking let's now switch over to HR technology, which does play a vital role in how we can digitally transform organizations, right? So while the people and the processes remain equally important, but I think technology has its own space. So let's now look at it from a diversity, inclusion, and equity standpoint. What are your thoughts on how should HR leaders see the intersection of DIE evolving in the age of automation? And what role, according to you, does HR play in shaping this evolution?
Okay. Automation is on one side, but what important thing I definitely feel, or this is my pure perspective, is DEI, you have said, Pulkit, I'm going to add another important piece which everyone is using these days is belongingness also.
Okay.
DEIB. So most of the companies say I have diversity in terms of my biographical characteristics, saying that age, gender, experience, religion, disability, and all those kind of things, sexual orientation and all those things. That is one piece. Next is whether your so-called practices, HR practices, is it really, let's assume in terms of training, are we giving more opportunities for our woman associates? Number one. Are the so-called performance management, or in terms of the compensation, are we at that percentile where the woman leaders are getting opportunities? In terms of LDP, leadership development programs, are they getting those kind of opportunities? That is in terms of the equity. Inclusion. You are in a room as a leader, you are in a room and you see one side, you see female associates are doing a small thing, and then here is one side where you're only discussing with the male. That is a wrong thing. Inclusion is you're making them feel that, okay, I am part or I'm a member in this organization. And that's the real challenge. If you really want a commitment or you want an engagement piece, you really need to bring that inclusion. If I'm not feeling included, I don't feel that I am belonging to this organization. The challenge in the age of so-called AI is AI will have its own discrimination. Probably I am sure you would have learned one of the case studies on Amazon, which Amazon itself killed that algorithm where it was discriminating a lot of women associates. It had to kill. So it's a classic case study. So you have AI coming up. Don't, and as leaders, our major thing is kindly ensure kindness, empathy, and compassion also. Because diversity is not just some numbers which you have in your scorecard. It is not to build an HR scorecard saying that I have hired this man. But are you making them feel inclusive? Are you making them feel belonging? And is there an equity in terms of practices, the so-called talent acquisition, talent development, talent engagement, and talent rewards and retention? If that is there, you can definitely make AI an enabler for this success. That's what I can say.
Thanks, Arvind. Thank you for that. I totally agree with you on that. And a very unique and amazing perspective, another amazing perspective. Now let's look at the yin and yang of automation, as they say. And I'm talking about striking a balance. What are your views on, as we go about, you know, embracing technology across various HR processes, how should one balance the need for efficiency through automation with the overall objective of maintaining human-centric diversity and inclusion initiatives?
Super. Pulkit, very, very important thing is this is basically exclusive. No, it's not purely for HR, but the most important thing is please ensure this AI or Gen AI is an enabler. Some people definitely say that after coming of AI, we have lost jobs. No, it is enabling you. Most important thing is it's making your so-called transactional thing from your so-called job kitty. It is making it more helpful so that you can become more strategic. That's one important piece. And humble request to all my listeners, please put in a lot of effort to understand the so-called, there is work without job. There is a fantastic book from Jeshunathan where he always says, you really need to dissect the so-called job. You really need to understand as an HR or anyone, you really need to put in a lot of analysis, your so-called cognitive skills around analyzing and diagnosing the problems. As HR or as managers of future, you should really understand which are the things which is making my so-called employees ineffective. If those things you are able to identify, remove it. And then bring in Gen AI kind of this one. Most important, you look at the so-called generation millennials or Z. They don't want, you ask them, how was the HR practices? Or you take a survey. They would say, no, everything is quite cumbersome. They say, okay, when I have to get my reimbursements, then I have to put it in the system. They are so tech savvy. They want everything in one click. They're so-called, their satisfaction levels are very, very, less. So you got to ensure that gratification levels needs to be really taken care of. So it has to be very important for future. AI is an enabler. Try to ensure all transactional things are cut. And please understand, we all are humans. So as a leader, kindness, empathy, and compassion, these words, I'm using it repetitively, but these things really matter as a leader or as an emerging leader. Keeping that, make your AI, enable it, not make AI the only thing in your organization. Then you're losing on the human front. At the end, please, we need to understand whatever technology comes, it's through your so-called most important asset called people. So we really need to value that. It's striking the right balance between the machine and the people. And at the end, people only makes a difference.
Awesome. I love that answer as well. Thanks, Arvind. This brings me to the last question of this amazing conversation, very insightful. And this question is, please walk us through any piece of literature, book, documentary, anything under the sun that has shaped your leadership journey.
Superb. I invest in a lot of books. I was one of the important books which I read is Good to Great, but the most influential book, or which is part of the TED Talk, Know Your Why, or Start With Your Why, is something which I always tell a lot of my emerging leaders to read. Everything in life, Pulkit, this is a simple message. It's called the golden circle. Actually, what happens is, as all my leaders, including the HR or marketing or anyone for who is listening to this, please understand, everything in life is about knowing your why you're doing it. I think, like a great mind say, almost 90% or 95% should be doing, understanding why, and why exactly, what is the outcome, the value, the deliverables which is going to happen, why you're doing it. Once you're convinced with your why, then what and how becomes very easy. But what has been told to us over the ages is, you do something, you have to do this, and you do in this particular manner. The thought process should be why. If you are knowing your why, things become quite easy. So your what and how becomes more effective. It becomes more powerful. The value or the insights or the impact is going to be more. So knowing your why is the most important thing in which I could learn. And then there is a TED Talk from him in this, he's coming under the first, Simon Sinek, he comes in the first 25 best TED Talks ever. So Know Your Why is the starting point, and the book is Start With Your Why. So I would request all my leaders, at least today, when you're doing something, an assignment or a task, please understand the why, then go to the what, and then go to the how. So that makes you an effective leader. Thank you.
Awesome. Arvind, I've read Simon Sinek, and I am a big believer in having a very solid purpose, both in personal and professional lives. That's something that's very close to our heart as well from HR1 perspective. So when we went about, we underwent a rebranding exercise a few months back, and one of the core deliverables from that entire exercise was to figure out the purpose. Not that we never had it in our minds, but of course, it took a lot of effort to really strip it to the bones and articulate it the way so that it becomes more persuasive and delivers a long-term impact and sets the path for how we need to sort of realize that purpose. So totally with you on that.
Awesome. It actually becomes a DNA of your life also. Absolutely. I exist for this reason. The existence is answer equals purpose.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So if that is taken care of, the KPIs and the KRAs will
absolutely.
Fall in.
Absolutely. And because it's a shared mindset. That shared mindset equals culture. If you happen to go through the what, actually, because I know this, my boss has told me that eventually you work towards that. Some of the great organizations don't need push. They don't need push to that. This one employees. They know they can see the bigger picture and they can connect the forest to the trees. Then it becomes easy.
Very true.
Especially this generation needs that. If you are not able to share your or sell your purpose, they just leave the organization.
Right. I agree.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Arvind. What an amazing conversation this has been. I really like the way you articulated things out from both a theoretical perspective, right? Coming from a lot of journals and books that you mentioned. And of course, you brought in years of experience and how that gets blended with how things work out practical wise, right? So, again, thanks a ton for turning up on
this podcast.
Really
means a lot to me.
Yeah, and I'm super sure our listeners would have found a lot of pearls that they can take back home to their and to their offices and actually deliver amazing work at their workplaces. So again, thanks
super.
A ton.
Thank you once again.
Okay. to all our listeners, thanks for listening to this episode of the CHRO Mindset. I hope you have gotten to hear some amazing insights and perspective from Arvind. And I do hope that you go back and implement all of these at your workplaces. There are a lot of episodes lined up in the coming next months, weeks. And I thank each one of you for supporting us throughout this journey. Please do drop us a review if you found this episode helpful. I'm sure it has been. Thanks again. Thanks for listening to the CHRO Mindset Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe and leave us a review. Join us next week for another insightful conversation with a top HR leader. And if you have any questions or feedback, reach out to us on social media or via email. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.